Sunlight, investigation, truth, let's talk. Every day now we're getting more revelations about who knew what when, about the extreme interrogation techniques used on detainees. And every day the debate deepens about what evidence to make public. Remember, it was an Obama release of some classified CIA documents that got this all going a few weeks ago over the objection of his own CIA director, as well as past CIA directors. Now it's Obama blocking the release of detainee abuse photos, and it's Dick Cheney calling for the release of more classified documents. Cheney thinks they will vindicate him for ordering the techniques.
I made a request that two memos that I personally know of, written by the CIA, that lay out the successes of those policies and point out in considerable detail all that we were able to achieve by virtue of those policies, that those memos be released, be made public.
So is Dick Cheney right, at least about this one thing? Is more sunlight better in all cases to get to the truth about extreme interrogations? And who did know what about them? Philip Zelikow, former legal advisor to Condoleezza Rice, testified yesterday and said leaders of both parties in Congress were briefed about the interrogation techniques and did not object. Nancy Pelosi seemed to say otherwise 2 weeks ago.
We were not told that waterboarding or any of these other enhanced interrogation methods were used. What they did tell us is that they had some Office of Legislative Counsel opinions that they could be used.
Sunlight, investigation, truth. Let's talk. Former Democratic Senator Bob Graham is back with us for this. He was chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee when much of this was going on. Also, Jesselyn Raddick, Homeland Security Director at the Government Accountability Project, which advocates for open government. Jesselyn, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
And Senator Graham, nice to have you back.
Thank you, Brian.
Senator, the who knew what when question is mostly engulfing Speaker Pelosi, as we heard. She said she was briefed on the existence of such techniques and President Bush's opinion that they were legal, but never told that they were actually being used. But here's what Philip Zelikow said yesterday after his testimony on MSNBC.
That argument would have had to be put before the whole National Security Council. The president, the vice president, the national security advisor, the secretary of state, the secretary of defense, the director of the CIA, all had to be convinced by that argument. And indeed, that argument was then presented to congressional leaders of both parties in briefings that began in September 2002, according to the latest chronology that's been released. And I believe, actually, those arguments were presented repeatedly to many members of Congress who can heard them and who heard them, and they can attest to how strongly those arguments were advocated to them.
Philip Zelikow talking to Rachel Maddow last night. So, Senator Graham, do you have any way of knowing what Nancy Pelosi was actually told at the time, as early as 2002, as Zelikow said?
No, I don't know precisely what she was told, because according to the CIA's report, and I'll talk about that in a moment, they briefed the House and the Senate leadership in separate events approximately 3 weeks apart. I can talk about the briefing that I received. First, Mr. Zelikow makes the assumption that the CIA records are uncontestable in their accuracy. In fact, when I asked the CIA on what dates was I briefed, they gave me four dates, two in April, two in September of 2002. On three of the four occasions, when I consulted my schedule and my notes, it was clear that no briefing had taken place on that date, and the CIA eventually concurred in that. So their record keeping is a little bit suspect. I have no recollection during the briefing that I did receive on September the 27th of 2002 that the issue of waterboarding, Zubeda, or other extreme interrogation techniques was discussed. I think I have a pretty good memory, and that if something as dramatic as that had been discussed at any level of specificity, I would not only have remembered it, but would have been motivated to do something about it. As you might recall, this was occurred in the late September of 02, right in the middle of the another major issue, which was the National Intelligence Estimate on Iraq, where I was at open war with the administration over the inaccuracies and misstatements within that NIE, which led me eventually to vote against authorizing the war in Iraq.
I recall, and I recall that we talked about it at the time. But let me play another clip of Philip Zelikow, where he takes the next step, also on MSNBC with Rachel Maddow, and says basically that the lack of outcry from members of Congress after the briefings were used as evidence by the administration that these things were okay to do.
We would make the argument that the program's wrong for this or that reason, and a response would come back, well, we've informed members of Congress of both parties, and they would name names repeatedly in various briefings over the years about this, and they're okay with it. Why are you so troubled by it? Now, we were not deterred, because just because members of Congress approved of it doesn't make it right, but that was an argument that would be employed on the inside, and I don't know what the members of Congress were told. I do know there is a record of a great many briefings, but the people who were in those briefings will have to attest about whether they understood what was going on and what they were told about the effectiveness and legality of these methods.
Philip Zelikow on MSNBC. So, Senator Graham, we now have the CIA statements that members of Congress, leaders of both parties, were briefed on these techniques. We now have Philip Zelikow saying that the administration was using the existence of these briefings and the lack of objection to the content as evidence that it was okay to go forward. But you still maintain that you were never so briefed as Senate Intelligence Committee Chair.
Absolutely. And I'm a little surprised that Phil, who I know and have a high regard for, would accept at face value what the people were saying about this subject, when at the very same time they were telling us that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq for which there was virtually no credible evidence.
Is it possible that they were sort of briefing you on this, but it wasn't clear? I mean, what's the nature of those briefings? Are they often more confusing and oblique than clear-cut?
Frequently, they're in the latter category. The basic law, which comes out of the Church Committee hearings that were the topic of some discussion earlier this morning on NPR, states that the executive should brief the full House and Senate Intelligence Committees on any proposed or ongoing activities. The one exception to that is what's referred to as covert action, where there is a conscious desire to keep the signature of the United States, its fingerprints, off an operation. In that case, the president can direct that only the eight leaders, the four congressional leaders and the four leaders of the intelligence committees, will be briefed. This is the so-called Gang of Eight. In those briefings, you're not allowed to bring any staff. Generally, you're called to the meeting with limited notice and no opportunity to prepare, since you're not informed as to what the subject of the briefing is going to be. And then after the briefing, you can't discuss it with anyone other than those who were in the room. You can't discuss it with your other committee members. You can't discuss it with staff. You can't consult with experts who you feel might bring a broadened perspective on the matter.
But you can talk with others who are briefed to see if you have the same understandings, correct?
You can talk to the other people who were in the room at the same time, yes.
Did you ever talk to Nancy Pelosi about this, or were
no,
you briefed?
Well, I was never in a briefing with House members. I was,
because you were in the Senate.
According to the CIA report, I was only at the September 27th meeting,
right,
with one other senator.
Okay.
And surprisingly, if this was supposed to be a Gang of Eight session, two staff members, which would have been very unusual, since the very purpose of limiting the briefing to the leadership is to limit the number of people who are aware of these clandestine activities.
Jesselyn Raddick, Homeland Security Director at the Government Accountability Project, let me bring you into this. Do you agree with Dick Cheney? Should the Obama administration release more of the documents that the president released in the first place, showing how extreme interrogation was used?
Well, as an initial matter, I believe firmly that every single memo that shows that torture is effective has been released. I think it's a bluff on Cheney's part, and we should call his bluff. Release the memos. Go ahead. Release them. I don't trust Dick Cheney further than I can throw him. He lied about WMDs, Valerie Plame, aluminum tubing, yellowcake uranium, Halliburton, Iraq. I mean, the list goes on and on. So it really is amazing to me that the king of secrecy and silence now suddenly wants the memos released.
Why think that he's bluffing, though, despite that history that you cite? He sounds earnest when he goes on the media and goes on the media and goes on the media and says release these documents because they'll show that hundreds of thousands of lives perhaps were saved. Must he not think that there is something there?
He sounded earnest when he talked about a connection between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. Yesterday, listening to the testimony of Philip Zelikow, who you mentioned already, and Ali Soufan, who talked about his own interrogation of Abu Zubaydah, it sounds like they got no actionable intelligence through torture and that the subjects, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, actually shut down and clammed up. In addition to that, I don't think former Vice President Cheney has any authority whatsoever other than possibly the Freedom of Information Act to ask the CIA to do anything. He's not the vice president anymore. And he was the one who fought tooth and nail to keep CIA memos under wraps.
Do you think, Senator Graham, do you have an opinion about whether the president was right to declassify the documents he did in the first place over the objections of his own CIA director and others, and whether he should declassify more as the former vice president is requesting?
Yes and yes. I think the president did the right thing in releasing the memos, the information, much of the information having already been made public. This filled in some of the gaps in what was already known. And second, I think the president ought to accept the request of the former vice president and release these memos. I would say I have never heard of a case where the use of these extreme techniques beyond those that were fully within the law has resulted in any actionable intelligence that resulted in saving American lives. If there is such evidence, I think it ought to be put on the public table.
So, Jesselyn Raddick, what about the photos of detainee abuse in Afghanistan and Iraq, Abu Ghraib style, we're told? I think these are outside of the interrogation process, but the ACLU had won their release in court. Now the president says he will appeal that decision to the Supreme Court. Here's why he says he'll do that.
In fact, the most direct consequence of releasing them, I believe, would be to further inflame anti-American opinion and to put our troops in greater danger.
Jesselyn, do you have an opinion about that?
I don't think that's accurate at all. I mean, if we're trying to have a truthful accounting for what happened, they should be released. And additionally, he promised to do so ahead of time, and to not do so would essentially render meaningless President Obama's pledge of transparency and accountability that he made on the first day in taking office.
So what's the single standard here as far as you're concerned? I mean, is the Obama administration showing itself to be no better than its predecessors in cherry-picking which documents to release for its own purposes?
Well, it appears to be that way. Certainly, there were some wonderful statements at the beginning of his administration about further transparency and openness of government.
Would you ever advocate keeping documents or visual material classified so as not to endanger national security?
Yes, absolutely. If it was truly going to present a danger to national security or intelligence gathering, certainly. But as President Obama has already said, this is stuff we've pretty much already seen. He said it's not particularly sensational, especially compared to the painful images from Abu Ghraib.
Although the ACLU itself says they're worse than Abu Ghraib photos.
Right. So we have a conflict there. But for the president to say, hey, they're not that bad, then, you know, Sasha and Malia should be able to see them. My kids should be able to see them. They certainly.
Detainee abuse photos rated G. Senator Graham, your view on this?
Well, first, I think there is a distinction between a written memo, which essentially was in the form of a legal opinion as to the legality of these techniques, and then the visual depiction of persons who were or had been subjected to those techniques. So I don't think it's a breach of the president's commitment to transparency to distinguish between the two. I personally think this information is going to come out anyway. That's the nature of our society. And at least as of now, the law of the land, based on previous federal opinion. So the practical effect of this is going to be to delay the release of these photographs. And I don't know whether the damage that this is going to do to the administration is worth the time of that delay.
Which do you think is more of a threat to national security? Allowing these photos out, which would presumably result in the worst of them being emailed around and text messaged around and, you know, sent to people's mobile phones all around the Muslim world and everything else, inflaming passions against the United States, presumably, or word getting out around the world that, hey, here's the Obama administration also trying to cover up what was done.
Yeah. I don't know if the word national security is, this is not going to change the thermometer of the threat against the United States. I would say it's a matter of national embarrassment that we as a nation tolerated this. But I believe that a nation is shown to be stronger when it fesses up that it has done inappropriate and probably illegal things.
And as President Obama has done.
That we're setting a different standard.
We're almost out of time, but the ACLU says these photos would show the detainee abuse was not the result of rogue officers in the field, but a direct result of policies being made at the highest level. Senator, do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's one of the things that most alarms me about what's happened, is that the only people who've been punished have been the privates and corporals who actually carried it out. It's beyond belief in the United States military that they acted without some at least wink and a nod that this was going to be acceptable. It's interesting that the counterpart is the way the Argentinians dealt with the allegations of military abuse. They drew the line at colonel and above, that the only people who got punished were those who were in positions of responsibility. We've drawn it at corporal and below as the only people who've been punished.
So who should get punished? Any individuals you would name?
I think the people who ought to be held accountable are the people up the chain of command who authorized and sanctioned, knew about, and failed to take appropriate expeditious action to stop this behavior.
By the way, Senator, I see that you have just established the Bob Graham Center for Public Service at the University of Florida. Congratulations. And I want to know if you have any advice for 2009 grads who are going out into the zombie economy.
my advice it would be that you are going out in a tough environment. That's just a statement of reality, but that the United States has shown a resilience, the ability to bounce back and to even stronger positions. I'm confident that will happen. I would also call upon these young students maybe to use some of this time that they have for another aspect of their life, and that is their life as a citizen in a democracy. These young people particularly can make a tremendous difference in the quality of our democracy. I urge them to apply themselves to do so.
Former Senator from Florida, former Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Bob Graham, thank you very much for your time today. And Jesselyn Raddick, Homeland Security Director at the Government Accountability Project, thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, Lee Sander has some things to say after he got the boot from the MTA. We'll have an exit interview with Lee Sander in a minute.